Turn in your Bibles, as I said, to Colossians. As I talk about the completed work of the cross, I mean the completed work of the Passion Week. The cross, the burial, the death, all the work that was taking place on what we'll call Saturday, and then the glorious resurrection that we're celebrating this morning. The Lord gave me a word Friday afternoon, and I shared it a little bit when we had the Easter experience for the kids on Friday night. It was a good evening, man. We had like 43 kids that went through, which was awesome. I think we had 35 last year, but we had like 43 kids that went through, and so that was so good, and they had such a good time. And I know some of you guys, man, y'all went out and just had a good evening afterwards, and Aaliyah was texting me and Lori, and she said, man, this feels like the old days after late church and going to the pizza farm, into the Applebee's and some of that stuff, and just all the kids, just they're in a public restaurant, but they're just still basking in the presence of the Lord. And you know, just a true. Did Jamie? Did y'all feel that? Me and Lori weren't there. Did y'all feel that? I felt it through the pictures. I felt it through the text and all of that stuff, and beautiful when God comes in and just marries himself to our lives, and we say yes to that, like Robin was saying, as we say yes to that. And the Lord gave me a word Friday night. Hopefully the latter rain will be better than the former rain, and this is our third service in a couple days, and so hopefully I'll do it'll come together real nice in the communicating of this. But we come in, and Friday night, it was a Good Friday, what we call Good Friday. It was the day of the crucifixion of Jesus. And we go and we place a lot of emphasis on Good Friday and everything that took place on Good Friday, as we should. But then in our minds, we immediately jump to Resurrection Sunday. And we put all of our focus and all of our energy and all of our weight on the resurrection. And with great expectation, because we know what's about to happen. We know that Jesus is going to conquer death, hell, and the grave. And that he's going to gloriously take care of everything for us. And so we in our mind, we want to live from Friday to Sunday. But the reality is most of us spend a big part of our lives in the Saturday aspect of it. And the Saturday aspect is where we come in. And think about if you're a disciple. There's uncertainty. There's confusion. There's fear. You don't really know what's next. You really don't even know what's going on. You just know God started something. And so often in our Christian lives, you know, we come in and we I'm not opposed to evangelism. He does say go into all nations and preach the gospel and all this. But the vast majority of the Apostle Paul's energy is speaking to the church, to grow up the church. And the reality is most of us in this room, we come in and we've seen God start something in our lives, or we've seen God start something in our family. We've seen God initiate something. And we know the glorious result. And unfortunately, so much of that is we pushed it off until eternity. And we said, man, someday when I go to heaven, it's going to be awesome. And it's going to be glorious. And I'm going to have a new body. And I'm going to worship. I'm going to worship. Everybody in here says, I'm going to worship the Lord when I get to heaven. I ain't waiting that long. They said, I'll be able to dance. I ain't waiting that long. I'll press. I ain't waiting that long. I'm sorry. I'm not waiting that long. And so what we do is we push the resurrection experience to the return of Christ. We push the resurrection experience to us being taken out of here and going up to heaven. And the reality is that most of our life takes place in the waiting. We've seen God started, and we can tangibly put something to that. I think about John in that. Jesus is hanging on the cross, and he looks at John, and he looks at Mary, and he says, behold thy son. He looks at him and said, behold thy mother. And John can latch on to that. He says, man, I got something to do. I've got something to do. Yes, I've got a calling. I've got a ministry. I've got all of this. So let me latch on to that. But the reality is most of us spend our time on Saturday, and what did the apostles do on Saturday? They're waiting for the uncertainty. They're waiting for what's coming next. They're waiting for, they don't even know the resurrection is going to happen yet. Because this morning we were in John 20, and it said that they didn't even understand the scriptures concerning the resurrection even after they went to the empty tomb. I said, first we believe in an empty tomb before we start believing in a resurrected Savior. Unfortunately, many of us stop in the empty tomb because we can't get to the resurrected Savior until we feel like He's going to come back, like in the book of Revelation, and snatch us out of here. And so we get hung up in what we feel like this place of limbo is. And the Lord came to me real strongly Friday afternoon and began to speak to me. And He says, I want you to understand that while you're in Saturday, while you're in a place of limbo, while you're in a place of transition, while you're in a place of uncertainty, I'm at work. And I want everybody to know that heaven's at work in your life right now. Heaven was at work in your life in the Passion Week. Heaven was at work in your life on not only Friday evening on the cross, but on Saturday as they put Him in the... Jesus was doing stuff. And when you're in this place of limbo, if you will, does everybody understand what I'm talking about in this place of limbo where it's kind of like, man, I know He started something in my life and I'm just kind of waiting for my calling and my purpose and all of this stuff. And it's like you want somebody to come and knight you and say, you know, go slay the barbarians. And the reality is the rest in Him. And the reality is the peace that we find in Him is not found in action, but it's found in our action. It's found in His action. And that's why we come into this beautiful place of rest. Because there was a completed work that took place during the Passion Week. And there's nothing that we can do to add to that. There's nothing that we need to try to do to add to that. I was listening to a podcast from the Upper Room this week out of Dallas, Texas. And the minister said the Lord came to him and asked him a question. And he said, what part of my creation is striving to be what I created it to be? What part of my creation is striving to be what I created it to be? And he said, man, I've thought on that and thought on that and thought on that and thought on that. And it's almost like the Lord came in and answered the question before I could even come up with a good answer for it. And he said, the only part of creation that is striving to be what I created them to be is Christians. Everything else just is. Everything else just is. This morning as the sun peeked over the trees as we were having our sunrise service, it wasn't striving to do that. It just was what it was. The birds that were singing this morning, they weren't striving to do that. They were just being who they were. They were just being what they were. And I've been that guy before. My prayers have been, God, let me be everything You've called me to be. I cannot tell you, Brett, I cannot tell you how many times I've prayed that prayer. I've been in the ministry 30 years, so you start multiplying that 365 days times 30 years. I mean, somebody do the math. Thousands and thousands and thousands of times. Thousands and thousands of times. I've come in and said, God, let me be everything You created me to be. And God said, I did that for you in the Passion Week. I did that for you on the cross. I did that for you in the death and the burial, and I did that for you in the resurrection. All I need you to do is just be who You are in me. I simply need you to do John 15:8. Y'all know what John 15:8 is? John 15:8 says that if you abide in Me and I abide in you, then you'll bear much fruit. He didn't say if you work really, 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 really hard and put your nose to the grindstone and you do this Christian thing, I don't care how hard it is, you suck it up and you do it and you be a good soldier. Our verbiage in Christianity needs to shift. I don't want to teach my children to be good soldiers for the Lord. I want to teach my children and my grandchildren to be good sons and daughters. And if there's a sword that needs to be picked up, then they'll know how to pick up a sword and use a sword. But first and foremost, I want them to understand what abiding means. Abiding in Him, abiding in each other, but primarily abiding in Him. The in Him dimension, the in Him aspect. And when we begin to get that, guys, when we begin to get that, then that releases us from the striving. That releases us from it being laborious. How many of you, we have people all the time and they come to us and they talk about, Lori and I have been in ministry for 30 years now, and they say, man, you've been in ministry 30 years. How in the world did you do that? And I'll be honest with you, there have been seasons when it's hard, but it's not hard anymore. And you know why it's not hard anymore? Because it's not my labor. The reason it's not hard anymore is because my identity is not in my calling, in my ministry. My identity's in my relationship. I'm just a son. I'm the bride of Christ, and my identity's wrapped up in that. And there's not a thing of striving to make this thing work. To where if we have a small crowd, I feel defeated. Or if it's a odd service and it's kind of flat, I feel defeated. Or if somebody leaves the church, I feel defeated. Or if the flip side of that is when everything is going good and powerful and all that, and then all of a sudden I feel victorious and all of that. And that's not my cross to bear. We've been married 36 years, and people ask us, man, marriage is a lot of work, and all that. Easiest thing I've ever done. I'll speak that over you guys right now. Y'all getting married pretty quick? I know you feel like Yahweh's just, He's already sealed it, and all I'm going to do is just come in and just, you know, I'm going to high five. It's all I'm going to be doing. But it is absolutely the easiest thing that I have ever done. It is not laborious, and it's not because you got lucky, you got a good wife. I did. I outpunted my coverage. I admit that. But at the end of the day, that's not what makes it easy. You know the thing that makes it easy? Because the work was completed in Him on Calvary's cross. In every area of life, there can be a place of rest, and it can be a place of this is easy. Not that you don't work hard. Not that you don't have to get knee deep and stuff. Not that, I tell you something, the Lord told me the other day, or not the other day, He told me a little over a year ago, He said, you're about to enter into 30 years of harvest. And I said, awesome, Lord, I love it. Because He said, you've sowed for 30 years, and you're entering into 30 years of harvest. And we're experiencing that. And it's glorious. But you know when the busiest and the hardest working time that I spend is on the as a farmer? During harvest time. My June, July, and August, I am going to be putting hundreds and hundreds of big round rolls of hay in the barn. But it doesn't have to be laborious. It can be easy. It can be light. Because it's a completed work of what He did on Calvary's cross. And I want us to enter into His rest. I want us to enter into His rest. And it's because of what He did. Because God was busy working when we were sitting there waiting on what's next. Heaven was working. Heaven was taking care of business. Let me read a few verses, and I'm going to tie all this up in a nice bow, and we'll go spend a beautiful afternoon at Grandmama's house or whatever you got going on. Can I read verse 19 before I get into the really what I want to rock and roll on this in chapter 1. King James says, for it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. One translation says, for in Him all the fullness of the Godhead was pleased to dwell. It's His good pleasure for the fullness of the Godhead to dwell in you as redeemed man. You say, my sins are too... Whoop, whoop. Calvary's cross took care of that, didn't it? What I did is too bad. You don't know where I've been living at, brother, and you don't know what's been going on. Calvary's cross took care of that. The blood didn't, it took care of that. The blood didn't cherry pick. Though our sins were as scarlet, He made them white as snow. Okay? And in this scripture, let's go ahead and jump into chapter 2, verse 6. He says, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk you in Him. Rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord. Let me ask you, we're talking about being complete in Him. Let me ask you guys, how many of y'all, when y'all got saved, you did anything to earn your salvation? What does the Word say? For by grace you are saved, right? For by grace you are saved. Did anybody do anything to earn their salvation? Nope. We all agree with that, don't we? We come in and we say, yes, brother, that's the gospel. That's the beauty of the gospel. But He says, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so you walk in Him. I'm here to contend this morning that the completed work on the cross took care of everything, not just punch your ticket to heaven. The work on the cross took care of everything. It took care of your sanctification. Quit striving to be everything that He called you to be and simply press in to abide in Him. As I abide in Him, brother, you know what? My actions take care of themselves. You know how to keep me from looking at other women? Become enamored with her. You know how to keep me from coming in and desiring this in life and this in life and this in life and this in life, and I want more and I need more and all that? It's when He becomes enough. I've always said, if I can just get people to fall in love with Jesus, everything else will take care of itself. And we come in and we want to say it's a greasy grace and it's a sloppy grace, and it gives people permission to sin, not when you're in love. How do we do this Christian thing? It's so hard. Not when you're in love. How many of y'all have ever just been really smitten in love? I hope everybody that's married better say me. I was giving Paul a hard time the other day. Me and Lori were commenting. And I'm like, he's always been a pleasant guy ever since I've known him. But Luke and Amanda, I know y'all have noticed this too. That, have y'all noticed he's just kind of got a giddy little silly smile on his face? And I love it. I'm not saying it's not manly. It's a manly giddy smile. Every picture. We got Lori. I don't do social media, thank God, but Lori, she'll show me pictures every once in a while, and she showed me some pictures from when y'all were up in Chattanooga, you know, when y'all went up in Chattanooga. Mary, let me ask a question. Did he just walk around grinning the whole time? Because every picture I saw, he was just kind of like, you know why? He's in love. He's in love with your auntie. He's in love. He's in love with your daughter. It's not hard right now. I'm sorry I'm picking on you today, brother. You know my heart towards you. And it's not hard, is it? It's probably, I bet if you were honest, you'd probably say, man, it's the easiest thing I've ever done. It's the easiest thing I've ever done. And that's the way this journey of life is supposed to be, guys. Through the challenges. You say, man, but you don't know what I faced. I've walked through some stuff myself. I've walked through loss. I've walked through pain. I've walked through betrayal. I've walked through hurt. I've walked through pain. All of these things. I probably said pain like six times. I've walked through stuff like that, as you have. But it's not laborious. Because the work was completed on the cross. Let's keep reading in this scripture. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk you in Him. Quit trying to add to it. And B, Recently, the Lord gave me some revelation concerning the ashes. You know, we read the scripture and we talk about beauty for ashes and beauty for ashes. And we say, and I always thought God replaced beauty for ashes, but He redeems the ashes so they become beautiful. That's what He spoke to me recently. He said, you got it wrong. I don't strip you of your individuality. I don't strip you of your uniqueness. I come in and I redeem it and I make it beautiful. I redeem it and I make it beautiful. And I'll take the same guy that, but Nick told me you used to be a good football player, so he's bragging on you. He did. He said, man, he said he's a good football player. You know, still country strong and all of that stuff. And he'll take that same guy and he'll redeem that guy. And it's, you don't have to change your identity and become whoever your heroes of your faith is. I'm not trying to be the next Bill Johnson. I'm not trying to be another Damon Thompson. I'm just sitting here saying, God, just let me be me. Let me sing my song. Let me celebrate my life and my redemption story and all of that stuff. And it's completed on the cross. I want y'all to get that. It's completed on the cross. So quit trying to make it happen. Because on Saturday you couldn't make anything happen. Could you? Jesus was doing all the work. Could Peter do anything on Saturday? Could John do anything? He's sitting there. I'm sure John's rolling his rhyme. Man, this is how I'm going to take care of Jesus' mama. He done gave me that assignment Friday night, hanging out by the cross, and I'm going to run with this thing and all that. But at the end of the day, he couldn't do anything to make it happen. I'm not saying don't work hard and all that. Man, you be a good steward of what God's put in front of you. But what I'm saying is when you're in this place of I'm in Him, it flows. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. And it's not talking about heaven. It's talking about now. And that's, I think that's her. Why didn't Jesus just, why did He have to stay in the tomb? Why was there a gap? Why were there 3 days in there? I still struggle with that timeline sometimes. But why was there 3 days in there? 3 time periods in there. You say, well, Jesus, it didn't take Jesus. Jesus wasn't down there contending with the devil for 32 hours and saying, man, I'm going to wrestle these keys away from you. He could have done that in an instant. He could have showed up. Maybe He did do that in an instant. But I think part of the thing is for us to understand that there is a lot in our life, guys, that we've got to learn to rest in the fact that He's got this. He's got your future. He's got your present. He's got your seed. He's got your seed. He's got my fourth and fifth generations. He's got this. And I love the fact, I always say, I'm type A and all of this and, just gotta be doing stuff and gotta be doing stuff and all of this and everything. And if I can make it happen, you're wired the same way, Chris Meacham, we'll make it happen and all of this stuff. And God says, there are things you cannot make happen. There are things you don't want to make happen. So He has to teach us that on Saturday, I got this. And a big part of your life is Saturday. But He's at work. And He's moving. And He's doing things. And it's creating this beautiful, glorious life that He desires us to bring. You know what He says in John 15 later on after John 15:8, where He says, if you abide in me and I abide in you, or the Father abides in you, therein you'll bear much fruit. About 4 or 5 verses later, He said, herein is my Father glorified when you bear much fruit. We say, man, I just want to glorify God. Well, it's not by putting our hand to the wheel or our nose to the grindstone. It happens by abiding in Him. Abiding in Him will produce activity. It will cause activity. But it's not something that we create, we start, and we sustain. I want you to know there's a completed work, and rest in that completed work. Your sanctification's complete. So rest in that. The biggest thing I have to do is just make sure there's not kinks in the water hose. You know what I'm saying? How many of y'all that drives you nuts? You're dragging a water hose across and it gets a kink in it and you all of a sudden you try to start spraying. He's like, daggone it, there's a kink in it. That's a snapshot of my Christian life a lot. I don't provide any of the water and I don't provide any of the pressure. My job is simply to make sure that the hose is not kinked and to pull the trigger. That's what we do in life. We just make sure there's not a kink in the hose and we just pull the trigger. When Father says pull the trigger, we pull the trigger. Let me read a couple more verses. In verse 9, for in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Now, in chapter 1, the reason that I read that verse in chapter 1, He said it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness of the Godhead to dwell in Christ, right? It was the Father's good pleasure. And then He comes in and says, for in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. But then in verse 10, He says, and you are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. Everybody look back at that. Let's look at these first four verses. Or words. And you are complete. Why do we have such a hard time believing that about ourselves? How many of y'all just said, I'm just a work in progress? Besides me. Anybody in here said, man, I'm a sinner saved by grace, but God ain't done with me yet. And I'm a work in progress. When I got saved and became a new creature in Christ Jesus, I took His DNA, and therefore my DNA is my DNA now. It's not changing. You see what I'm saying in that? It's not like that if we work hard enough that we're going to morph into this awesome super Christian, this super guy and all that. The key for you to be successful in life, I'm not talking about men, I'm just talking about life, is to simply learn to abide in Him. And when you get the abiding in Him, everything else is going to take care of itself. Everything else is going to take care of itself. Everything else is going to become the flow and just happen naturally. It's not a forced thing. Y'all know how it is when we try to, you're out of rhythm and you're just trying to force it. All the athletes know what I'm talking about. You're just trying to force it and make it happen. But then you know what it's like when you get into the zone. That's what I'm talking about, Eric. You know, this is probably better than anybody in here from a baseball standpoint. There are times it looks like a BB and times it looks like a softball coming in there or a beach ball coming in there. And when that thing comes in there and it's looking like a beach ball, they can't nobody do nothing to get you out. That's what I'm talking about, abiding in Him. Unfortunately, we spend the majority of our life striving, trying to be that guy that everybody says, that Pastor Sid says I'm supposed to be, or that my mom wants me to be and all of that, instead of who Christ created me to be and me flowing in that. The thing is if we're not abiding in Him, we can't tap into that. So your whole thing in life, man, is just tap into Him in that in Him dimension and rest in the completed work of everything that He already did for you in Calvary's cross in the Passion Week. Let me read a couple more verses. This will tie it all up for you, I hope. A lot of my prayer now in on ministry is not anoint me for this, because I understand that everything of the fullness of the Godhead is dwelling inside of me. You know what my ministry prayer is now? God, just let me be a good communicator. Just let me be a good communicator. You are complete in Him. Can you believe that about yourself? All you self-condemning people that beat yourself up. I've never understood the people that fall into the thing of cutting themselves. I like me too good, and that sounds way too painful. But doggone, we do it as Christians, don't we? We beat ourselves up, and we heap condemnation upon ourselves. And He's coming in right here, and what is He saying? You are complete in Him. That needs to be, y'all need to put that on y'all's refrigerator. You're complete in Him. Sid didn't say that. Paul said that through the Holy Spirit in Colossians 2, verse 10. You are complete in Him. Look at verse 11. In whom also you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. Now how did verse 10, verse 11, and verse 12 happen? Through the faith of the operation of God who raised him from the dead. Through faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. My faith in the Passion Week. My faith in what he did. Beth, in what he did. My faith in that. Same way you got saved. Do you believe that when you put faith in the cross that you received atonement for your sins? And you didn't add nothing to it, right? You didn't work your way into it or anything like that. You were what? I don't know how old. You were young when you got saved. And it was a simple faith. It was a simple faith. God, I believe you and I receive you. Why do we make the whole sanctification process, why do we make the whole walking this thing out process, then why do we tie that into our works and how hard I go after things and do things and all of that? When in Colossians right here, it said, what did it just declare? That we are complete through our faith in the process of the cross. In the working of the cross. Man, that's what I want you to get. Because you know what this will do? This will liberate you. And then you talking about Resurrection Sunday? This is going to put something new into it. Through the faith of the operation of God. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he what? Quickened together with him. Hath he what? Quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Man, y'all please go home and study this. This is some powerful stuff. We're quickened together with him. When he resurrected Christ, he resurrected me. When he put principalities under the feet of Christ, he put principalities under the feet of me. Come on, somebody. You say, well, my life ain't as, it just ain't that easy. Tap into this and it becomes light and easy. Verse 14. Reading the last two verses. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinance that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Verse 15, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Is that not the resurrection that we declare? Can I throw something here out at you right quick? Thank you for permission. Do you know what he tells Peter in the Gospels when he declares that your name is Cephas and upon this rock I'll build the church? He comes in and he declares something to Peter and he says, Peter, I'm giving you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. I'm giving you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. The keys of the kingdom of heaven will open up a supernatural life for us that we can come into a place of bounty and blessing and abundance and fullness and all of those things. But that was pre-cross that he said, I have the keys of the kingdom of heaven. But there were a set of keys that he did not give Peter at that time because he did not possess those that time. You know what he says in Revelation chapter 1? He said, behold, I have the keys of hell and death. And what happened in the Passion Week, and when I say the Passion Week, I'm talking about the cross, the burial, the resurrection, all of that. The Word says he led captivity captive. He went down and he took the keys to death and hell. And in Revelation 1, he says, I have the keys to death and hell. And if he has the keys to death and hell, who has the keys to death and hell? What? No, brother. That ain't what I'm living experientially. Then get in John 15 and study John 15 and get abiding in the vine. Because in this, he said, we are buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. And he said that we were dead in our sins, in the uncircumcision of our flesh, but now he's quickened us together with him. So while he's celebrating Resurrection Sunday, I'm celebrating Resurrection Sunday because I'm in him. And he always had the keys to the kingdom of heaven, but then he got the keys to death and hell. And as he got the keys to death and hell, who was going with him to get keys to death and hell? Me, because I was in his loins. Come on. It's important for us to get this. And you say, man, but Sid, this is heavy. I just want to be saved and go to heaven. Let me shout about the resurrection so I can go to heaven one day. Go ahead. But there's no need for the Father to be glorified by you in heaven. The need for the Father to be glorified is by you right now here on earth. And I will contend with you that the only way that you can do that is abiding in Him and bearing much fruit. And the only way that you can abide in Him and bear much fruit is by stop trying to do it yourself. Stop trying to work on Saturday and understand that He did this for you. He did this in you. He did this through. So that all of this stuff is, we are what? Complete. What did it say, verse 10? We are, Linda Carter, complete in Him. So when He got the keys to death and hell, who was with Him? So when the enemy tries to come into my life, let's get real practical, and we're done. When the enemy tries to come into my life, he has no legal access. Why? Because he doesn't have the keys anymore. When he tries to come into that, the battlefield of the mind, he has no legal access because why? He doesn't have any keys. When he tries to come into that, he has no access. Why? Because he didn't have any keys. Because we have all of the keys. A lot of the people in Honduras, they want, the way they attain land is they squat on it. Y'all know what squatters are. They have no legal right, but they just live there. And the landowner doesn't care enough. They just let them live there. And after a certain amount of time, and I'm not sure the exact time, but after a certain amount of time, you know what the government will do? The government will come in and give them papers on the land if they squatted on it for X number of years. It's kind of like this is ground that's uncontested. So we'll actually give you papers. Some of the houses that we build down there, that's on land that people used to be squatters, but they eventually earn the papers of it. And that's what happens to us as Christians. Is the enemy comes in and the enemy has no legal right in our life whatsoever. He has no legal right in your mind. He has no legal right in your marriage. He has no legal right over your children. Ain't got no legal right on any of mine because mine were what? With Christ on the cross, I'm in Him. Crucified with Him, resurrected with Him. He already had the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Now he's got keys to death and hell. So he's got all the keys. And what happens to our life, you say, man, I just feel so defeated and I feel so impotent and all of this is because the enemy has been squatting in your life for so long that he's taken up residence and you have actually given him papers and say, I guess that's just who I am. And today the freedom message is that we can now evict him. Because government's on our side. And it's not the U.S. government, it's not the Honduran government, but it's the government of heaven. And in Colossians chapter 2, it said, as he did it in him, he did it in us. So this morning, I want you to celebrate what he did for you, but also celebrate what he did in you and start living accordingly. Start living accordingly. Start walking in a freedom. Start walking in a newness of power. Stop walking in fear. Is my marriage going to fall apart? What's going to happen to my beautiful little daughter? What's going to happen to my little girl? We're just raising her up in such a terrible world and all of that stuff. Mm-mm. I got all the keys. So I'm not living in fear. I'm living in peace, and I'm living in rest, and I'm living in promise, and I'm living in hope. And I know even in the times of limbo, you know what? He's at work. On Saturday, he's at work. Because on Saturdays, when he was down there, on that timeline, on Saturdays, when he was down there kicking rear end, taking names, and pulling the keys and coming back. But I was in him while he was doing it. See, in olden warfare times, they would just send out a champion. The armies wouldn't engage. They said, there's no need. And there were times, y'all have all seen the movie Troy, Brad Pitt, Achilles. And they're going out there, and they just send out their champion, and the Greeks would send out Brad Pitt. Achilles. You know, and this guy would be like 7 foot tall, and Achilles would just come out and do that old whatever stagger step, that thing, even kind of a matrix move, and then jump up and stab the dude right here. And he falls to the dirt, and he's like, oh, all the other armies are going, oh, and all the Greeks are going, woo, look what I did. And they didn't do anything, but they were victorious because their champion did everything. And as long as they were in a relationship with their champion, they were going to win. I'm not a champion, but I'm in a champion. So you differentiate between the two. Because he ain't just planting his flag on the soil. He's planting my flag on the soil too. What does the word say? We're more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. It's because of the Passion Week. He spoiled principalities and powers. My champion did that. King Jesus. But I get the trophy too. Because I'm on the team, you know. Back in the 90s, it was easy to win an NBA championship. All you had to do was get on Michael Jordan's team. There are some dudes that walked around and all they got was garbage time, and they've got like 6 world champion rings that they're. They can walk in and they can say, "Man, dude, yep, man, see them." I played for the Bulls in the 90s. What's your name? John Smith. No offense, John Smith, but John Smith's my name. I don't remember you. Here's proof. I got the rings. That's what I want you to get. And sometimes that's the best gig of all. He's laboring and he's working and he's our champion and he did this so that I can. Made a show of them openly. He's just, as Robin was saying a while ago, he's just asking somebody, will you say yes to letting that come into your life? He's just waiting for somebody to say yes for that to come into their life. You know when I started tapping into this? When I turned 50. Because I strived for a long time. And I toiled for a long time. And it was hard for a long time. Not in my marriage, but in ministry. in a lot of areas of white life. When I was raised, man, you just work hard and you work your way through whatever. And now I'm learning to rest through whatever. And that's what he wants for you. I want you guys to get it before I did. Haley, I want you to get it before I did. Don't wait till you're 50 and say, oh, man, I've entered into this awesome place with God. I mean, were you 19? 19? 20? You 20? Okay. So you'll always want to shave a year off when you get older, or two or three or four. Don't wait 30 years. Tap into that reality right now. Tap in it. Flourish in that reality right now. I see Michaela starting to come into that. Michaela's not here. I don't want to embarrass her, but I was talking to Jamie at breakfast this morning. I've really enjoyed watching Michaela flourish into that in the last 6 months. Nick, have you noticed it? I've really noticed Michaela just really coming into this place of kingdom maturity, a sweet spot of becoming a godly young woman. And thank God she's getting it at 18 instead of, I can enter into that rest. Enter into that rest. Well, man, let's stand to our feet. I want to give you the opportunity to come down. A lot of us, we've had communion this morning down under the pavilion for the sunrise service. And man, I want to give you the opportunity to. Do we just want to take communion again together? Yeah, come on up, Linda. Worship team, y'all come on up here, man. Hey, Keith, come here, brother. You ain't done enough serving today. It's what we're built for, isn't it? Amen. Scotty, come here, brother. And to start passing this around. Let's start passing this around. I want us to take communion together. You know what communion is? Us saying yes to Colossians chapter 2. Us being in Colossians chapter 2. I had a... You know how this thing is supposed to work, guys? This right here is how this is supposed to work. James hadn't been knighted. He hadn't put... And I believe that there's callings. But you know what I'm called into? Yes. I'm called into what's in front of me. And I believe there are different giftings that will manifest in our life. I believe in the fivefold ministry and all that. But I personally believe we're supposed to all flow in that stuff. I had a cool conversation with Marty Smith this morning. And I'll just have to ask forgiveness. I hadn't asked permission to share this. I'll just have to ask forgiveness, but I love the man. He knows my heart. And I said, Marty, I said, I've seen you flow in Honduras. I've seen you preach the gospel with power. And authority. Spoiling principalities and powers that we talk about in Colossians 2. And you know what I asked him? I was like, do you do that in the States also? What I was asking him, that was my backdoor approach is, can I get you to start bringing the word at Victory every once in a while? You know what he said? Yeah. I didn't ask him, have you been called to preach? But I've seen him flow in Colossians 2 in another country. And I said, God's bringing you into to this house to connect with a lot of these people in whatever capacity, I don't know. But can you release the word here that I've seen you release in Honduras? He said, yeah. And you're waiting for me to lay hands on you, or you're waiting for Chris Volatin to prophesy over you. You're waiting for this earth-jarring revelation and encounter. And God simply says the fullness of the Godhead dwells within you because it dwells within me. It's my good pleasure. And I just want to release that into the earth, whatever it looks like. For me, a big piece of the pie is simply being a Christian businessman that can help facilitate things through God's blessing on us as Christian businessmen. I'll be honest with y'all, that's as big to me right now as me getting up here with a microphone and preaching the word to y'all twice a week. I feel the weight of heaven when I'm operating KST the way KST's operating right now. I feel the weight of heaven in that just as much as I feel the weight in heaven holding this. It's no lie. And I say that so you'll start walking in where you are and start doing what's in front of you. And don't wait for Sunday, because Sunday's happened. So minister to what's in front of you. Do what's in front of you. I love about you guys, man. You ain't saying, "Well, I got to wait till I'm 21 or something like that, a legal age and all of that stuff." Man, you just minister to what's in front of you, because it's His good pleasure for the fullness to dwell in you. His good pleasure. And when He did it on the cross, when He did it on Saturday, when He did it in the resurrection, you were there. You were there. You were there. You were there. Don't ever forget that. When you get married one day, don't toil in marriage. Don't marry a goober, but don't toil in marriage. You marry a kingdom man, easy. Easy. Whatever career or just a house mom or what, I don't mean just a house mom, whatever's in front of you, it's light. It's light to Him. That's His promise in the Word. You ain't got a problem believing salvation. Don't have a problem believing this. Because according to Colossians 2, it's the same thing. So let... Has everybody got your communion? Everybody got your communion? Let this be your altar call. Let this be your yes. Because you know what you're drinking to? You're drinking to Colossians chapter 2. It's what you're drinking to. It's what you're eating to. Thank you, brother. Ooh, somebody, yes. Somebody, yes. Lord, I can't add any blessing to this because You blessed it on the cross. When You said to Telestai, You blessed it on the cross. You blessed it on the cross. Right now, we just say yes to Your wholeness. We say yes to verse 10 that says we are complete in You. I say yes to verse 10 because I'm complete in Him. That's what I'm drinking to. It's what I'm eating to. Here's what I want you to declare over your body right now. As you partake of Him, I want you to declare divine wholeness, divine health. Somebody start believing that. That I eat this and drink this to my health, divine healing. Declare that over my wife's back right now. Lord, as she gets deeper in communion with You, divine healing, divine healing, divine healing. That the fullness of the Godhead would flow into me. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Let's say yes and partake of Him.